Well, it's good to be with you this morning. Now, one of the things I found really helpful in my walk with Jesus to nurture and develop and strengthen my faith is to try and always be reading through one of the Gospels or thinking on a parable of Jesus or a particular saying of Jesus. At the start of the first lockdown, I decided I would read through John's Gospel. And as I did so, I started to see things I'd not seen before. I started to notice how many times Jesus calls God his Father, over 120 times, way more than any of the other Gospels. I also saw how many times Jesus uses the word believe, over 98 times, way more than any other Gospel. I also started to see how many titles John uses to describe Jesus. Jesus is given the title the Word, the Lamb, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, just to mention a few. And as I got to the end of John's Gospel, I decided I would go back to the beginning and not just reread the Gospel, but also listen to it. And as I listened and reread, I felt my faith being nurtured and strengthened, and I was reminded of who Jesus is. Now, as this happened, I felt that there was a real sense of abiding in Jesus, which is one of the words that John uses for believing. And as I abided, I felt his life in me, and even that there was some transformation going on. Now, as we continue coming out of lockdown, not knowing what lies ahead, a lot of us are weary. Some of us have been weary for quite a long time, while others have just started to become weary. And God has given us this amazing gift called faith. Paul makes clear in Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 that this is a gift when he says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast." Faith is a gift which we can nurture and strengthen as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Now, starting from today, we're going to be journeying through the Gospel of John over the next year. And my purpose and prayer for us as a church family is that our faith may be nurtured and strengthened together, which is actually one of the same purposes that John has for writing the Gospel. Now, it would be good to take a moment to give some background to this Gospel. And although the Gospel of John is anonymous and there's been debate over who the author is, I've come to my own conclusion that both the evidence from within the Gospel and from outwith point to John, the son of Zebedee, the brother of James, who were both fishermen and who were part of Jesus's inner circle. Yeah, that's John that we read of in the Gospel. John was also a disciple of John the Baptist before following Jesus. He also wrote the letters of John found towards the end of the New Testament and also Revelation. Now, although he doesn't use his name to say he wrote the Gospel, he does describe himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, just before we misunderstand this phrase, William Barclay suggests that this phrase does not cross over into our culture very well in its meaning. And one possible suggestion for John using this phrase was that he was trying to highlight how God's love had just formed his life by saying the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. Notice he does not use his name. That would have drawn attention to himself in the Gospel. But he uses a phrase to express what Jesus' love had done in his own life. After all, he goes on to call himself in the letters beloved, so that we see that he had a real understanding of who he was in God's eyes. And I think that's what we want, each of us want in our own lives, that we have a real understanding that we are loved by God, even when it's all going wrong. Now, if you want to get an understanding of how the book is set out, then I'd really encourage you to go onto the Bible Project website and watch the two Bible overviews on John's Gospel. These videos will give you a really clear picture of how the Gospel is structured, and it will help you to understand the Gospel. Now, one commentator called the Gospel of John the Gospel of Belief because as I said, the word believe is mentioned 98 times. Indeed, belief is the major theme of the gospel that John makes clear in the purpose statement that is found at the end of the gospel in chapter 20, verse 31, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. So this morning, I want to take some time to unpack this purpose statement that we find in John's gospel in John chapter 20, verse 30 to 31. So let's look at these verses so we're clear on the purpose for John writing this gospel. It says in verse 30, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's John 20, 30 to 31. Now, there are four key elements to this purpose statement that will help us to understand the Gospel of John as we look at each one of them and unpack them. These four key elements are signs, belief, the content of our belief, and what believing in Jesus brings to our lives. So let's take them one by one. Firstly, signs. The first thing that John mentions in this verse is signs. John is using this word signs to refer to miraculous signs. He makes clear in verse 30 that Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that John did not record. But as we move into verse 31, he refers to some specific signs which he uses when he uses the word these, referring to the ones John has written about in his gospel. Now, John has a clear purpose to recording these miraculous signs that Jesus performed, because they tell us something about Jesus, about who he is. So what miraculous signs is John referring to here? Well, John makes reference to seven signs in the gospel. And you know that you are reading about one of these signs because John uses a phrase like, this was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. And as you read through the gospel of John, you'll be able to see those signs. Now, the seven signs do not include the miraculous catch of fish or the resurrection, which are at the end of the gospel. And as we look at each miraculous sign, it points us to reveal something more about who Jesus is. For instance, when Jesus changed water into wine at the wedding, it revealed Jesus as our creator. When he healed the official's son, it revealed Jesus as our healer. As he healed the lame man, it revealed Jesus as our restorer. As he fed the 5,000, it revealed Jesus as our provider. As Jesus walked on water, it revealed him as our protector. As he healed the blind man, it revealed Jesus as our illuminator. And as he raised Lazarus, it revealed Jesus as our source of life. Now, these seven signs allow us to have a fuller picture of who Jesus is, what he can do in our lives as our creator, our healer, our restorer, our provider, protector, illuminator, and source of life. But it also shows us what he can do in the people's lives we are sharing the good news about the kingdom of God with. And that's exciting. These three reasons alone create a hunger in me to study John's gospel more and to remind myself of the wonder of these truths, of who Jesus is, of what he wants to do in our lives, and what he wants to do in the lives of those that we share the good news of Jesus with. Now, on top of these signs, we also have the I am sayings, which only John records Jesus saying. As we meditate on these, they reveal more to us of who Christ is and what he wants to do in our lives as we believe. And I wonder, if you close your eyes as I read them out, I think the Holy Spirit's going to help you to see more of who Jesus is. So why don't we do this? Why don't we close our eyes and I'm going to read these I am sayings out. And just, they're amazing picture statements of who Jesus is. So why don't you close your eyes and I'm going to read them. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. John 6:35. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." John 10:9. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep." John 10:11. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing me will never die." John 11:25 to 26. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." John 15:1. These are all amazing statements that Jesus made that help us to see who he is. You can open your eyes now if you haven't already. And I hope that was helpful. So we see John making very clear through writing these miraculous signs down who Jesus is. Now John makes very clear why he has written these signs down, making clear who Jesus is so that we may believe in him. The next point that we see in the purpose statement is belief. John included these signs in this gospel so you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, the way John writes this phrase refers to the entire process of coming to faith and continuing to believe, according to Don Carson. That would include belief by being aroused, nurtured, strengthened, and confirmed, the kind of the stages of belief. And the word that John uses for belief means to put one's faith in, to trust in, which is an implication that actions based on that trust may follow. John uses the word believe 98 times in the gospel. He also uses other words throughout the gospel to unpack what it means to believe in Jesus, such as receiving him, obeying him, abiding in him, and trusting in him. For John, believing in Jesus must be lived out on a daily basis. It's a personal commitment that marks our whole lives, which we need to make public. Now, one of the things I love about John's gospel is that we see faith arising in the people we meet as we move through the gospel. Belief, as Laney wrote, is progressive in John's gospel. Now, he illustrates this by this point by looking at the progression of the blind man's faith. The blind man firstly believed Jesus to be a prophet, then to be from God, and then finally Jesus as the Son of God. Nicodemus would be another who appears early on in chapter 3 of John's Gospel, where he comes at night to question Jesus and ends up by being questioned by Jesus. But he reappears as one of the two men who helped take and prepare Jesus' body for the tomb. We also see this in the disciples as we journey through the gospel. Thomas would be a prime example of that. So as we journey with Jesus through John's gospel, I pray that our faith will be nurtured and strengthened. And for those who do not yet know Jesus, that faith would be awakened. Now, John makes clear who Jesus is through the signs that he records so that we may believe. He next tells us about the content of our belief. That's point three, the content of our belief. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God." Now, John uses two titles for Jesus, firstly the Messiah and then the Son of God. And in using the title Messiah, John is making very clear that Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that was prophesied about the Messiah in the Old Testament, that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, the second title that John uses here is the Son of God. And throughout the gospel, John has used the miraculous signs to point to and authenticate Jesus' deity as the Son of God. This is also backed up by Jesus calling God his Father over 120 times, as said at the beginning. And I believe that helps us to see not just Jesus' deity as the Son of God, but also the intimacy between the Father and the Son, which is another reason I want us to go into the Gospel of John. That for me also reflects the intimacy that God the Father wants with us through Jesus. I love that within the first chapter of John, we're reminded that as we received Jesus and believed in his name, he gave us the right to become children of God. John 1:12, that might be a verse you want to underline if you haven't. Through believing and receiving Jesus, we have been given a new identity in Christ. We are children of God and we are beloved of God. And I think that just flows. I mean, you can see why John did that, because he was the beloved. He'd understood the impact that Jesus had made in his life, the change in identity, that he was a beloved child of God. And as we journey through John's gospel, we'll see the intimacy between the Father and Son. And I think it's an encouragement to us to grow in our relationship with our Father. It shows us the kind of relationship that God, our Father, wants with us, his children. Now, interestingly, there are those mentioned in John's Gospel who believe in the signs Jesus did, but not that he was the Messiah or the Son of God. Leon Morris calls this transitory belief. Their faith is superficial and is not saving faith or a faith that will lead to salvation and transformation. But John makes it clear who we are placing our faith in: Jesus the Son, Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. And finally, John makes clear what believing in Jesus brings to our lives. That's point four, what believing in Jesus brings to our lives. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. See how important believing is to John. The clear result of believing in Jesus is that we may have life in his name. That's eternal life. That brings us hope in the face of death, as we looked at recently, as we looked and studied about the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus makes clear throughout the Gospels, particularly through the signs and the I am sayings, that he is the source of life. You know, in the midst of Lazarus dying, he walks into that situation and he declares, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing me will never die." John 11:25 to 26. He then raises Lazarus from the dead. That's a kind of a central section, in a sense, of the John's gospel. It divides the first section to the second. He also declared, "I am the way and the truth and the life," and that in him we could have life and have it to the full. So we see the result of believing in Jesus is that we receive life in him. That's eternal life. So we see in this purpose statement, John uses signs recorded in the Gospels so that we may see who Jesus is. It might arouse faith in us, but also strengthen and nurture faith in us. And that turns into belief in him, belief in Jesus. Jesus is the content of our faith in the sense that he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And in believing in him, he brings eternal life into our lives. Now, I want to encourage you as we journey through John's Gospel this year to read the passage each week that we look at. We'll let you know about that. And just ask the Holy Spirit to give you fresh revelation so you can know Jesus and abide in him more. Some of you have read the Gospel of John countless times. For some of you, it's your favorite gospel. But I believe every time I've read through a gospel afresh, the Holy Spirit has always shown me stuff, fresh stuff, that has inspired me and helped nurture and grow my faith. So I'd really encourage you, why not start this week by reading through the Gospel of John or listening to it on the YouVersion app? We read God's word to lead us into an encounter with the living God through the Holy Spirit. We don't read God's word simply so we can quote the Bible at people. We read the Bible so we can have an experience of him, and so we can share that experience with others. We can have fresh bread to share. Now, one of the things that really stood out to me as I prepared for this sermon series was the supremacy of Christ. That because Jesus is above all in his authority, power, and majesty, he can provide everything we need. I want to finish by looking at the supremacy of Christ in the face of what our culture might say, just using some of the things that Jesus said about himself in John's gospel. So it's another reason why we should read John's gospel, because we get a fuller picture of who Jesus is. So let me read some of these statements to you. When the world says there is no absolute truth, Jesus says, I am the truth. When the world says there are many ways to God, Jesus says, I am the only way to the Father. When the world has no answers to death, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. When the world looks to material things to find fulfillment, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. When the world looks within for guidance, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who will gently guide you and restore you. When people are trying to build an identity for themselves, Jesus offers them a new identity as children of God, beloved of the Father. And when injustice and evil darken this world, Jesus says, I am the light of the world and the light of life. I hope that's encouraged you, that's whetted your appetite for what lies ahead as we get into John's gospel. I'm so excited about this. And I just encourage you, why not go onto the Bible Project website and look at these two videos about John's gospel, which will give you a really good overview. And why not read John's gospel? Or if you find that difficult, why not read it, listen to it in the YouVersion? Let's just pray. And I'm going to pray that as we go into John's gospel, that our belief, our faith, which is a gift, will be nurtured and strengthened so that we will just share our faith and we'll be able to know Jesus in a greater way. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the four gospels and the different ways they show us Jesus. But we thank you as we head in to John's gospel. You're going to help grow and nurture our faith as we read just some of the wonderful statements about who Jesus is and who he wants to be in our lives as creator and healer and restorer and provider and protector, illuminator and life. So Jesus, as we start this journey as a church family, we ask you, Holy Spirit, would you start to work in our lives? Lord, we want our faith to grow. And so we pray as we read the Gospel of John together, Lord, would you, Lord, if we don't know you yet, Jesus, we pray that that faith would start to arise, that belief in you would start to arise, and that faith would start to grow in us. And as it grows, you would nurture it, Lord God. And so we just ask you now, Holy Spirit, would you start to work in our lives? We want our faith to grow, our belief in you to grow, so we can do things that you call us to do. And so, Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the relationship that John had with you. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that as we read John's gospel, our relationship would go deeper, that we would abide in you, Jesus, and we would have that same depth of relationship that you show us is possible with the Father. So we give you thanks and we give you praise. Give us a hunger for your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.